Christianized in Christendom. And when I say that, I don't mean people that are born again. I mean people who profess some type of Christianity who do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. There are cults all around you who, though they talk the sweetest and nicest you've ever heard, when it comes down to it, they do not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And I tell you tonight, it needs to be drilled into your children that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Because the Bible very clearly and distinctly teaches that. And if He is not God, then we're gathered here tonight under a false pretense, and it's all a big joke. One thing I do admire and respect the Catholic Church about is that they do teach that Jesus Christ is God. They don't make any bones about that. Now, they've got a lot of junk. In fact, I got an email today that Sister Pitts gave me, a wonderful email from a young man in Canada, a Roman Catholic who had been saved. I don't know just how, when, but hadn't been too long ago, hadn't been. But you ought to read this email. It's quite the email he sent. I just got it after church today. But talking about the stuff of Roman Catholicism, they got a lot of problems, bad problems. But at least they believe Jesus is God. And that is one reason you can win a Catholic to Jesus. You can win a Catholic to Christ faster than you can lead 10 Catholics before you get the first Jehovah's Witness saved. 10 Catholics before you can get the first Mormon saved. And you can get 15 Baptists saved before you can get the first one. but you know, boy, I'm telling you, our children, now you listen, where your children is going to get it is they're going to be out somewhere, going to church to some friend somewhere, they're going to be in college somewhere, they're going to be somewhere at work along the trail of life, and they're going to meet somebody who is very subtly a deceiver and a wolf in sheep's clothing, and they're going to start working on eating away at your child's faith by trying to cast doubt on the deity of Jesus Christ. And this passage right here in Exodus chapter 3, verse number 13, when Moses is being talked to by God, is one of the greatest passages of Scripture that teaches the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, verse number 13 says, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name?" Now that's important. I think Moses understood something. If I'm going to be sent down there, these people are who are these people he's being sent to? They are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But they are people who've been in bondage for 400 some years, and I'm going to tell you now something you want to remember as we journey through with this man of Moses. These people had lost sight of a lot of their faith. Many of the Israelite people were idol worshippers. Think about this. Aaron made a golden calf out of the earrings and jewelry of these people. They were inundated internally with the paganism of Egypt. But the people who were really going to make a difference and who probably would swing the pendulum as to whether they would follow Moses or not, they're going to want to know, who is this God you represent? And I think when people come into our church, I think down inside they want to know, who is the God these people are worshiping? And we need to ask ourselves, who is this God that we're worshiping? They said, what is his name? And Moses said, when they asked me that, Lord, what shall I say unto them? And this is God's answer, and it's amazing. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Now you and I might think that that's strange verbiage, that that's strange talk, but it's some of the most precise, brief, short. It's like an atomic bomb. Riding on an airplane, don't look very big, blow the world up. That phrase, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, now here's the catch, I am hath sent me unto you. Lord, help us tonight to break the bread of life and feed the flock of God to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this is a very important passage of Scripture concerning the nature of God. But it's also a critical passage of Scripture concerning the deity of Jesus Christ. What does the name I am imply? Now, we're going to do a Bible study tonight, so just kind of get your Bibles ready to get open. Because I want you to see from yourself, and I want you to mark in the Scriptures how the Bible interprets itself and is going to tell you who this person is and about him. Let me say, first of all, if you want to take some notes tonight, What does the name I am imply? I am. I am. God is simple yet profound. God is always simple yet profound. First of all, it means that He is the self-existing one. He is the self-existing one. He lives by His own power. He didn't say, I was, I will be, I used to be. He said, I am. That means He is self-existing. God is not depending on anybody else to exist. You and I are. Mankind depends on all kinds of outward things. We need air, we need food, we need water. We need all kinds of things constantly. I mean, if God were to move the sun just a little bit, it'd be over for us. But God needs no one. God does not need anybody else to exist. He doesn't need any externals, internals. He maintains His own life. Now, I'm going to tell you, you've heard me say this 1,000 times. You don't need drugs to blow your mind. But if you'll think on what I'm preaching to tonight, because if you have thoughts about God, right thoughts about God, immediately it will take your mind beyond out where you've ever been. He lives by His own power. He's not dependent on any external power anywhere in the universe. He's self-existing. He depends on no one. He depends on nothing else to exist. So He is the self. I am indicates that He is the self-existing one. Number two, He is the eternal one. He is eternal. Now, I want to tell you that eternity exists. God lives in eternity. God has built time into eternity, but God is not bound nor limited by time. God, by His very nature and person, His I am is eternal. There is no beginning, there is no end. Now I'm going to blow your mind out. This will blow your mind out. God never had a beginning. God will never have an ending. God is eternal. There never was a time when God did not exist. You can think back and 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 before this and before this and before this and you think, surely no one could have existed. God has existed and does exist eternally. This is critical doctrine. This is critical doctrine. You need to believe what the Bible is teaching here. He said, I am that I am. You tell them that the God that Abraham, and by the way, we'll get to this a little bit later. I won't jump ahead of myself. It's not I was, it's not I shall be. There never was a time when God did not exist. You'll get with these people and they say, well, now listen, everything has to have a beginning. No, it doesn't. Time is different than eternity. And this is the amazing part about salvation. When you got saved, you were indwelt by the Holy Ghost and born again of the Spirit of God. You were created in true righteousness and holiness, and there's a new man. And that new man has been given something. Eternity. That's exactly right. That's why you don't ever perish. Because you've been given the eternal life that can only come from God. And you say, I don't believe that. I'm telling you, that's what the Bible teaches, doesn't it? I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish.
Amen.
I've asked people this. If God gave you eternal life when you were saved, all right, what does that mean? What does eternal mean? It's eternal. If it ever stops for any reason, it wasn't eternal. God's lied. The whole thing collapses. It's eternity. God is eternal. God is not bound by time. God is not bound by anything. God is eternal. I want to tell you tonight, you have right thoughts about God, it'll cure a lot of false cults. It'll sweep out the cultism. Just boom. God is eternal. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of the Bible, is eternal. Never was a time when He didn't exist. Never will be a time when He does not exist. He's eternal. I don't know about you, but I'm like, yeah. Because, you know, everything we see, you know, a seed comes up that has a start. You know, everything around us, everything that we're bound in time with has this. Somebody says, wait a minute, in the beginning, God. That's right, in the beginning of what? In the beginning of God's dealing with mankind. In the beginning of God's creation of this earth. That's not talking about God's beginning, it's talking about the beginning of creation. And you'll watch them cults take the word beginning and they'll talk about Jesus, you know, first begotten and all this kind of stuff. And they'll take that stuff. I'm going to tell you something. You better read your Bible a little thicker. Better read Bible a little. Number three tonight, He's not only self-existent, He's not only eternal, but He's unchangeable. This really blesses my heart. Wouldn't it be nice to be married to someone who never changed? You say, well, they haven't. I wanted them to, but they didn't. No, you and I are changeable. We're moody. One day we're full of faith, the next day we're down in the valley of despair. Right? I mean, one day we just love our spouse to death, the next day we wonder why we married them. You know? One day we think our kids are the greatest thing since, you know, fresh bread. Next day we... I want to tell you something. Now listen, this is a powerful concept of God as far as being I am. He is unchangeable. The Bible says that there is neither variance nor shadow of turning with Him. Boy, we better be grateful tonight that God never changes. He is exactly like He was. No, that's a wrong statement. He is exactly like He's always been. Isn't that wild? How our mind, our fleshly, limited mind, tries to capture and conceive who God is. But He has always been what He always will be. And He's never changed. I am the Lord. I change not. I'm glad. Because if He changed, He said, well, I know I said that over in Exodus, but by the time I got to Matthew, it's different now. I've changed my mind. That's not God. Think about this. God has never grown wiser. God has never matured. He is just eternally God. He never changes. Number four, this is the logical conclusion. He's incomprehensible. I'm asking this inquisitively, but I don't think He wants me to ask this accusatively. Okay, God, why did You let Satan loose? Why did You create man and turn a serpent loose in the garden? God, why did You allow man to sin? I mean, could not have God done something besides let Satan tempt man and make him fall and then all kinds of... God, why are so many people that are born going to hell? Now, y'all get... I can see that just... You listen to me tonight. These are true questions that men ask. These are things that we ask. These are not things we jump up and Sunday's going to go, oh, I'd like somebody to tell me why God let the devil loose to start with. These are not things that preachers get up and open up the spout to so we can have all these. Because they don't, you know, they say, well, listen, I don't know. You know why? Because we don't know. All I know is His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And I can tell you this, when I get on the other side, if He chooses to reveal to me why He created man, put him in a garden and let the devil loose on him and the devil caused him to fall. I don't understand everything. I do not understand everything about God. Can I tell you tonight? I am preaching and living and serving Him by faith in this book. And I could ask myself questions out here and questions out here and questions out here until I'm goofy. Until I've drove myself batty. And until I've decided that God is cruel and unkind and must not be really in control. Now, I told you tonight we're in one of the greatest passages of Scripture in the Bible. By the way, there's a lot smarter men than you and I have asked themselves these questions. Now, what did Jesus say? Zach was mentioning this to me yesterday. I think he may have mentioned it. And he said, Daddy, it comes back to childlike faith. Except you have faith of the little child. And I'm telling you, that's the truth. I just believe. I'm glad that God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I'm glad He didn't say, figure God out. And then if after you figured Him out, you can believe, then you'll be saved. Because you ain't got God figured out. I know what I know. But there's some things I don't understand. I'll throw one at you. We got telescopes. We're not entirely stupid. We can look out here and see galaxies. We haven't even got to the end. We can just see so far. We don't have a clue what's beyond that. We know tonight that the galaxy that the Earth is in, which is the Milky Way, which is unbelievable, unfathomably huge and huge and huge light years wide is a small galaxy among galaxies. Amen. You ever wondered, why did God take a little bitty speck called the earth and put man on it and do all this deal? Is it starting, your mind starting to blow? Okay. And you know what comes back to his childlike faith? I got no other news for you tonight other than this. He has given us his book. What more can he say? And I have a choice tonight to make. I either believe the Bible or I start trying to figure God out in the spinning of my frail, depraved, sin-cursed mind. And the next thing I know, I've got the true God made out to be some kind of a bandit. And I've become a God unto myself who thinks he knows more than the God who created this world and who wrote this book. I'm going to tell you something. You listen to me tonight. Satan has always, this is why, watch this. The just shall live by faith. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the word of God. It does not come by imagining what you do not know and what God has not allowed you to know. You're going to die not knowing much. But I can know him. That'll be enough. And you know, the truth about it is, you've got a little child, 2-year-old child, you don't want him worried about things that he doesn't need to know and doesn't, you know. I mean, you're going to sit down and talk to him about Obama. Listen, son, I want to talk to you about Obama. It wouldn't take long. But I'm just saying to you, or we go to a child and say, now, I want you to understand physics, son. I want you to understand trigonometry. And the child's going to go there and go. And he may reach down and start playing with his blocks while you're talking. Right? And you understand that he does not have the comprehension to some things. You and I do not have the comprehension to most things, I don't believe. You can ask me a lot of questions. Why? I have to say to you, I don't know. I don't know. And I have a choice to trust him or questioning the rest of my life. But he is, I am, the self-existing, eternal, sovereign, holy God. He is, fifthly, not only, by the way, I talked about God's calling. There's another reason about Moses here. God is telling Moses, in essence, I am not calling you to explain me to the world. I am calling you to declare me to the world. God does not start out saying, hello, I'm God. I want to explain myself to you and what I'm like. No, he said, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. And you're supposed to believe that and then go from there. Did you know that God never tells preachers to go around trying to explain God to people? Amen. He says, go and preach the gospel. You know why God knows that? We ain't got enough sense. We ain't got brains enough to comprehend God. What's the use of wasting your time trying to explain God to everybody? Amen. And it's a wonderful thing. I'm glad God hadn't called me to try to explain God to people because I'm, what would I say? But I can preach the gospel. I can tell you, you're lost in the road to hell. Jesus died for your sins, rose in the grave, paid for your sin in his precious blood. I can tell you that. So, that at number five, this I am is all sufficient. He's all sufficient. Boy, it's a blessing. We're going to get into this a little bit later, but if you are in darkness, he is light. If you are hungry, he is food. If you are sickness, he is health. If you are lost, he is salvation. If you are in confusion, he is clarity. I am, and by the way, here's what I would encourage you to do this week. Take you a sheet of paper, hang it up on your kitchen refrigerator, put I am, and then put several blanks underneath there, and go all week long what he is to you. He is all sufficient. He is all in all, and he is all you need and all you'll ever need, and your breath is in it. I mean, I am, and then basically what God says, you got a blank check behind that. Within the bounds of his word, you have a blank check behind that. I am. That's why Paul said, my grace, he said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. He is all sufficient. We don't really need anything but him. Because he is the one who makes the air we breathe. He's the one who makes the food that we eat. You know, it's an amazing thing to me. Somebody's telling me this week about somebody was killed a steer to butcher, and some relative was in, and this girl was in, and she heard him say that they killed a steer to eat, and she said, "That's horrible." She didn't know that hamburger come from, that animals were killed to get hamburger. I'll tell you what I said for a long time. It'd do you good to go out and wring chickens' necks. You might not eat so much. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Do you understand the chicken you eat, somebody killed it? And hamburger you ate, somebody killed it. And God supplies everything. I got to go. Susanna, she planted a bunch of garden. And it's amazing to me. You can take a seed, drop it in the ground, and up comes that seed. And it'll be just like what you planted. And everything that we're around all the time, God, you know, He's sufficient. Everything that we need, He has provided for us. He's all sufficient. We need a Savior. We need forgiveness. He's provided everything. I mean, you could just go down through the list of everything in your life, and God is everything you and I need. If you're weak, He's your strength. If you're bereaved, He's your comfort. And I mean, you can just go on with that. This great I Am is all-knowing. This great I Am, He is all-knowing. There's nothing God does not know. This great I Am is all-present. There is no place you'll ever be. Brother Donnie just came up a while ago and said, "Reggie, I don't appreciate men like yourself that's helped me in times." And I said, "Donnie, you never did get nowhere where He wasn't already at, was you?" He said, "Reggie, that's right." God's all-present. God is everywhere. And this great I Am is all-powerful. Boy, that's a blessing to me. He's all-present. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He knows every thought run through my brain. Knows every thought in my heart. I am glad that I serve a God who knows me. I really am. I'm glad He's not a God that doesn't. This great I Am, this I Am, is a sovereign God. That means He's over all. He is over all. There's nobody above Him. There's nobody going to... Nobody, He's not... Because the old black preacher said He ain't resigning. Nobody's going to impeach Him. Amen. Nobody's running... There's not an election. He's God. He's sovereign. And so let's look at verse number 6 now. This again, go back to verse number 6. More, He said, "I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." What He's doing here is revealing to Moses, I am the same God that your forefathers worshipped, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am not a new God. I am the God of the children of Israel. Now, who is this I Am shown to be in Scripture? Who is He? Without going into detail tonight and getting real dicey, I want to make a statement to you, and you can study this on yourself. But this I Am in this verse is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. And that ought to be pretty given. I mean, you know, that ought to be easy to understand. The name Jehovah is given to God. Now, watch, you've got Lord given. You've got the name Lord, L-O-R-D, capital, which is a translation of Yahweh or Jehovah. Okay, now I'm going to make a statement, not while I'm stopping. I ain't after nobody, ain't mad at nobody, but I don't go for this business of praying in Yahweh's name. Don't give me that stuff. The Bible said in Jesus' name. Jesus means he's Savior. Okay? Now, when you get off on that, you watch that. You get on that junk and you're headed down a wrong trail, I'm telling you. You just watch that stuff. Yes, there is a Hebrew name, Yahweh, and there's names that the Israelite people wouldn't use because they took a vow out of it so they wouldn't be... They considered the name of God so holy and so reverend, they wouldn't speak it. So they took some vows out so they wouldn't be speaking it. I want to tell you something. I don't even follow that. In the beginning, God. And I'll tell you what, but you've got L-O-R-D capital, which is Jehovah. You've got L-O-R with small L-O-R-D, and you've got God, G-O-D capital, all caps, and then you've got G-O-D. And they all have different, what they are is different attributes of God, teaching you the different attributes and nature of God and His different offices and so forth and aspects of how He deals with people in their life. One of them is that He is the sovereign King of Kings, Lord of Lords, sovereign over all, okay? But who is this? Without going into detail again, He is the Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Now, watch this. There ain't a Jew on the face of the earth that believes in God that would deny that. They all don't have a problem. But this God that Moses was talking to, this great I Am, is the Jehovah of the Old Testament. He is the Creator God. The Lord, the God, and all that, they don't have a problem with that. Now, but for, it's important for you and I to understand something, because we came tonight to worship in Jesus' name, and the whole basis of our salvation is through Jesus. Tonight. Now, I want to tell you something. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, these three are one, right? Okay? Now, what the world has a problem is, and you watch this, is it's called universalism. They want to take all the gods, quote, that everybody's worshiping, and claim they're the same God. George Bush made a statement one time that the Islamist God was the same God, Christian God. That's a stinking lie. That wasn't nothing but a cowardly statement to try to ease everybody from thinking. By the way, very dangerous statement. The God that the Islamists worship is not the God of the Bible. And by the way, is Muslims do not believe Jesus Christ is God. And I don't know how anybody lets them get by with that, because they'll tell you that Jesus, I've had them tell me with their own mouth, we believe Jesus Christ is a good prophet. Well, good prophets don't lie. Jesus said that he's God. That would be a lie. So if he's either a liar or he's God. They can't have it both ways. Now I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Now this is, keep in mind, this is Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Very familiar passage of Scripture with people who read their Bibles, who study the Lord Jesus Christ, who have an appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 7, verse number 14. By the way, anybody know what 7 means? Know what's the number 7? Completion, perfection. What's number 14? Deliverance. And so God's going to give you complete 7, deliverance, verse number 14, through something. Watch what it says. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin, that's the sign, a virgin shall conceive. That's a pretty good sign, amen? That don't just happen. And bear a son. I want to tell you something tonight. The King James Bible is not gender neutral. Amen. He shall bear a son and shall call his name, what? Emmanuel. Now, Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Now, watch this. You've got to be an idiot not to understand that verse is teaching you that God is going to send a son of his conceived by a virgin, and God's going to call him something. He's going to call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. You cannot read that verse and go to the New Testament and study the life of Jesus Christ without understanding that Jesus Christ is exactly who that verse is talking about. It is God with us. Hey, that's teaching the deity of Jesus Christ. Who else was born of a virgin? Who else was conceived of the Holy Ghost? A son. And his name should be called Emmanuel, God with us. That's Jesus Christ, God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that is a prophecy of the Old Testament that the God of the Old Testament would be the same God in the New Testament. Okay? But there would be something very special in a manifestation that he would be God in the flesh. A supernatural conception of the Holy Ghost in the womb of a virgin. And it would be God with us. God is going to be with man. He is coming to man. Now, I want you to get the book of John, and we're going to do something. We're going to figure out who is this person? Who is this I am according to the New Testament? Now, let's do some back at John chapter 4. Go to John chapter 4. You know that the Old Testament is the New Testament enfolded. The New Testament is the Old Testament unfolded. There are many things written in the Old Testament that until you get into the New Testament and the Holy Ghost interprets it for you and tells you about it, you don't quite get it all. Or at least you didn't get that. You go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and you're going to find out all kinds of things about all those people that you wouldn't have got. You wouldn't have understood what's going on in their life had you not read that in Hebrews chapter 11. I'm telling you. Now watch this. If you're just reading through and you're saying, all right, I want to know, who is this I am that I am? Who is this person who says I am to Moses? Who is it? So here we go. Are you ready? We're going to run through the script. John chapter 4, verse number 24. Jesus Christ is talking to who? The woman at the well. What's this? Verse number 24. Jesus speaking. God is the Spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. Now she's talking. You know what she's saying? I know what Isaiah said. That there's going to be a son born of a virgin, and he is going to be called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. She knew what she said? I know that God is coming in the flesh. She said, I know that. And I don't know that because somebody told me. I know that from the Word of God. And she believed that much. Watch this. Which is called what? Christ. Christ means the anointed one. Christ is the word that is given for the Messiah who would come and die for the sins of the world. Okay, prophesied in Genesis 3:15. When he has come, he will tell us all things. Watch verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am. I am. There it is. He. Now, if that was the only place, you might say, Reggie, okay, all right. Let's go to chapter 6, John chapter 6, verse number 20. They were having the sea and the storm in the sea, and Jesus came walking on the sea. And he said unto them, verse 20, it is what? Be not afraid. Now, what does he say? It is what? I. What was he saying to him? It is I. You know what? You and I don't rap that too good, but let me tell you something, brother. A Jew got it real quick. Because that Jew was hanging, watch this, that Jew was hanging everything on his soul on what God said to Moses, I am. And they saw I am as a definitive statement, declaration that I'm God. Let's go to chapter 8, verse number 24. We keep working along here, see, kind of compare scripture to scripture, see what we get. Verse number 24. Verse number 4, Jesus responding here said, I say it said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that what? Now, you got a King James Authorized Version Bible in your lap. Amen? How many know what I've taught here before? You're going to see every once in a while words in italics. You see that he is in italics? What does that mean in your King James Bible? That means that that was not in the original Greek language, or if you're in the Old Testament, it means it was not in the original, but it is given and put down so that you would get the sense, a proper sense of what is being said in the English language. And I'll tell you something, it's inspired. Don't let anybody tell you the italicized words are not inspired. They are inspired. They're given to you so that you get a right and correct sense of the statement, okay, in this translation for, out of those original languages. You don't, and by the way, you don't need Hebrew, you don't need Greek. Amen. If ye believe not that I am, you know what Jesus is saying? Who's Jesus saying he is? I am. Ye shall die in your sins. If you don't believe, watch this, if you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. What's he saying? If you don't believe that I am the God of Moses in Exodus chapter 3, you'll die in your sins. I am not somebody challenging, or I am not another God. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of your forefathers. I am the prophesied one. I'm the one Moses spoke of. And if you don't believe that, you'll die in your sins. What was the big problem with the Jews in his day? They did not believe that he was Jesus Christ. Same problem we got today. Did not believe it. Well, let's go to chapter 8, verse number 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that what? Now you're starting to see a pattern. You're starting to see a scriptural pattern of Jesus Christ addressing himself as who? I am. Go to John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Yes, sir. Chapter 8, verse 58. Grab it. Let's go look at it, everybody. Well, you stole my thunder. Boy, I'm glad you got that. I may have it later, but if I don't, let's. What do you? Verse number 58. 823. Boy, man alive, look at him. Yeah, I am. Not of this world. Verse 58. That's a nail clincher, number 58. Jesus saith them, verily, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I mean, folks, he is clearly telling you he's the God that spoke to Moses out of the bush. That's what he's telling you. That's who spoke. Jesus Christ is who spoke to God out of the bush. Jesus Christ is God Almighty. And I say that to you tonight. Hey, I'm dying believing that. I'm going into eternity believing that Jesus Christ is the God, is God Almighty. That's what I'm, thank you so much. Man, that blesses my heart for y'all to do that. That's a blessing. Amen. Now, we're going to take the nail, we're going to take the hammer, and we're going to just clench the nail down. Now back up and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. There's seven of these in the book of John. Seven of these in the book of John. John chapter 6, verse number 35. Jesus said unto them, what? I am the bread of life. Go to chapter 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, what? I am the light of the world. He's using the exact terminology. And by the way, that's why this authorized version is so blessed, so sweet, so wonderful. You can't get this out of any other Bible in the world. These words, the very words, are preserved, and they're precious because they give you the pattern. They give you, you don't have to get an interpretation. It interprets it for you. If you read the Bible, it will interpret to you who is who, what is what. John chapter 10, verse number 9. I am what? The door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am the door. John chapter 10, verse number 11. What? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John chapter 11, verse number 25. John 11, verse 25. Jesus said unto her, what? I am the resurrection and the life. How many get the idea? Yes, sir, Brother Paul.
John chapter 10, verse 30.
John 10, 30. Hang on just a second. Yeah. I and my Father are one. Case closed. Case closed. And you say, you know what? I know you people believe that tonight, but you not don't just need to believe it. You need to know why you believe it. Now, I'm going to tell you a little something that happens to you when you've been preaching 30 years to a lot of the same people. And you kids remember this. Steve, remember this. You'll be fortunate if someday you don't get all excited about something you saw in the Word of God and say, I wonder why Reggie never preached that. I did. You just wasn't with me that night. I've seen that happen over and over and over again. Somebody get all excited, man, I ain't living, and they act like you never heard of it before. And I'm like, we just preached that 4 years ago. And you're acting like we never saw it. I've seen this happen over and over. It's like, I don't know. But you know what? Then I think, Reggie, they came Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and sometimes their mind was on other things, and they just weren't, they were there, but they weren't there. Okay? I mean, it kind of does get you when somebody kind of smarts off to you, what did you ever preach on that for? I go, well, I did. You want to see my sermon notes? You know? And by the way, we do miss a service once in a while, don't we? You know, but anyway, thank you guys. Let's go to John chapter 11, verse number. We got that, didn't we? I am the resurrection and life. Go to John chapter 14, verse number 6. Y'all familiar with that? Jesus saith unto him, I am. Folks, this is not accidental. He is saying this on purpose. This is specific language. The way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. John chapter 15 is the last one, which is the seventh one in the book of John. John chapter 15, verse number 1. I am what? The true vine. Now that's seven times. Now, seven is what? It's a number of completion. Perfect. God is, he's really demonstrating the completion. He's completely and perfectly telling you who he is. Jesus Christ is telling you, I am the God that spoke to Moses in the bush. You know, and if I didn't get anything else done preaching through the life of Moses, this would be worth it all tonight. that the God that spoke to Moses is the God that speaks to you and I. Amen. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to know that we know Him tonight. Now, go to Matthew chapter 27. Go to Matthew chapter 27. And we're just having some fun tonight, just strengthening our faith, strengthening our growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 27, verse number 43. And it's here, of course, toward the Jesus is on the cross. And we're going to go back here. We're going to go actually back before this in just a little bit. But look what this man had heard Jesus Christ say in verse 43. This is what he said. He said, he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him. For he said, what? I am the Son of God. Now, what? Wait a minute. What did Isaiah say? A son. And he shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, you listen to me. Those Pharisees, Sadducees, that whole crowd knew that the Son of God was God, that there was a particular Messiah to be born of Christ who was to be born the Son of God through a virgin. And that's why they attacked his virgin birth. That's why they attacked Mary. That's what about Joseph, the whole nine yards. That's why they were against that thing, because they knew that. And by the way, when he peeled back their hypocrisy stuff, they had to attack him. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ declared himself to be the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7, verse number 14. Now I want to go to something very, very precious, very, very precious. Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Jesus Christ is in trial now. They have him in trial before the high priest. And he's before the Sanhedrin court. This is the Jew. This is not Pilate. This is not Herod. This is when he's being tried and condemned in the Sanhedrin, the Jewish court system. All right. Sanhedrin was kind of like a supreme court. And the high priest, verse number 60, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, watch this. Very direct question. Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Now, this is what he's asking. Do you claim to be the one prophesied by Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14? That's what he's asking him. Now, he is asking him something. Now, here's what's interesting. The high priest is asking him. How many ever knows that there are questions under the questions? When someone is being cross-examined or interrogated, there's always questions under the questions. By the way, when you've got little rifts and you've got this and that going on in your life, you're always asking questions that are saying questions underneath. You're asking this question to get this question answered. That's what's going on here. And he said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of God? He is asking him, do you claim that you are the God who spoke to Moses? That's what he's asking. Are you saying that you are God Almighty, that you're the God who spoke to Moses through the bush? Now you watch what they do. Watch what Jesus says. And verse number 62, and Jesus said what? Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, the bomb went off right there. The atomic bomb went off because, man, that's what Jesus had claimed. We just got through reading through the book of John. That's what Jesus was claiming all along. We read the seven I ams of John. We read seven or eight passages of scripture where he used that terminology, I am, where he was, you know, and so these priests have got him where they want him. Now they're going to bring him down to just a solid deal. And Jesus said, I am, and watch this, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. And look what happened in verse number 63. The high priest rent his clothes and said, what needed we any further witness? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What's that high priest saying? You're a liar. You're a liar. He is saying, I do not believe you're who you say you are. And by the way, Jesus had already said, if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. And that high priest made a decision right there. By the way, I'm going to tell you something right now. He was the religious leader of the entire nation. You want to know about, you better be careful, but folks, I'm going to tell you about this hierarchy religious business. I'm a believer in local autonomous churches that don't send a dime to an organization, a pyramid organization. I hate to tell you this, but most denominations started out real good. And then as they grew and stuff, they turned into financial pyramids. Financial pyramids didn't start with outfits in the 70s and 60s, folks, they started with religious organizations back centuries and centuries and centuries ago. Just to say something tonight bothers me bad. The Pope and all that crowd's always talking about. The Pope has joined in with Obama about wealth distribution, redistribution. That's code for we want more of everybody's money. Send it to us. I've said for 30 years now, if the Pope is so concerned about poverty, which they go around trumping, why don't he just take the simple little crown off his head, have them to melt it down and give it to some poor folks down on Skid Row? Why don't he sell the Pope Mobile and give it to some poor folks and buy some food and go down to the homeless and feed them? Why don't they scrape the millions and billions of dollars? Why don't they sell their land holdings? They're the richest one organization in the whole world. Why don't they sell their holdings, their buildings, their assets, and start giving it to the poor in Guatemala and in Peru and in Bolivia and all around the world? No, because they are hypocrites. They're just what Jesus said. They're vipers and serpents, and they go around the world making proselytes so they can suck the money out of everybody. And that's the same satanic theory that the United States liberals and progressive and socialists live on, is that under the pretense of redistributing wealth, they're going to suck the wealth out of the people who's got it so we can have the 90% and we'll spread the 10% among them, you peasants. It's the same junk. Let me tell you what I believe now, and I know I'm getting off course, but I'd rather be poor as a whippoorwill and have the chance to make it than to be held down by a government who says, we'll never give you the shot to make it. We're going to take away your freedom to even fail. I'd rather be just poor poverty and have a shot, start 42 businesses, never one of them be successful, than to be enslaved by a system that says, because I'm going to tell you something, I've been to Russia. Dan, you've been there. You can't tell me nothing. I've seen it firsthand, the struggling inner unbelievable desire of people to get broken away from a socialistic governmental system that says you cannot have opportunity. You will drive the kind of car we tell you to drive. You will go to the doctor we tell you to go to. You will live in the kind of house we tell you, apartment we tell you can live in. Every aspect of your life will be controlled by us. It's sickening. It's satanic is what it is. It's satanic. It's just absolutely satanic. Well, Jesus said, I am. Now, this ought to clinch any of us tonight to know that Jesus Christ is the God who spoke to Moses out of the burning bush. And I want to tell you tonight, it's a comfort to my old soul to know that I'm serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And by the way, the God of Moses, in whom God used Moses to write, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's go back to Exodus chapter 3. And verse number 14, back to our start, and we'll finish up tonight. Y'all enjoy this? Oh, I enjoy this. I just love this. It's just like getting in a candy store. No, it's getting in. It's like somebody broke me into Baskins and Robbins, and they don't know I'm there. You know, so I broke into Andy's, and they forgot to take all the custard out of the machines. And I'm just going, how would you like to make yourself an Andy's custard that tall? Wouldn't that be a blast? Wow. I'm going to give you one last thing tonight that's a blessing out of this old blessed book that you have. You're in Exodus chapter what? What's number 3 mean? Divine. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It speaks of deity. Okay? Divine. What verse is this text on we're looking at? Verse 14. What's 14 mean? Deliverance. God's going to give us divine deliverance through the great I Am, Jesus Christ. Your Honor, I close my case. Anybody got any thoughts tonight? Boy, you did wonderful. I appreciate you running those scriptures and chasing those scriptures down. I like that verse 58. Before Abraham was, I am. You know what? Can you imagine what the difference would have been if Jesus would have said, before Abraham was, I was? I am. I am the eternally self-existent one, no beginning, no end.